Have you ever wondered what death doulas talk about when they get together? This podcast is offered to you by the Death Doula Ontario Network as doulas gather to talk about all things related to death, dying, and grief. Founder and director Olga Nikolaev and members of the Death Doula Ontario Network gather and share their powerful personal and professional stories with end-of-life care. Death Doula Chats are our stories about our experiences with offering and providing end-of-life care support in our communities. We hope and pray that our words have a healing impact on your own experience and assist you in learning about death doulas and their end-of-life care support services. The network's vision is to increase public knowledge and death literacy and enhance end-of-life care skills and provide up-to-date end-of-life resources and information through our doula work. And the network's mission is to gather death doulas across Ontario and serve as their educational and business collaborative community of practice. In addition, the Death Doula Ontario Network is part of a global movement, a world mission to better educate, advocate, and empower everyone in their end-of-life journey. So I want to welcome Sue Phillips, and thank you so much, Sue, for joining us for Death Doula Chats.
Thank you so much. I am thrilled to be a part of it.
Wonderful. Now, for those of you listening in, Sue Phillips serves the Hamilton area, serving your clients locally. I think she also offers virtual support as well. Is that true, Sue?
Yes, definitely virtual work. Thanks to the
Perfect.
pandemic, I would say it's a gift from the pandemic, actually, to be able to pivot to virtual support.
Right. Not only did we get sort of used to it as a way of providing support services, but I think there's also community members are a little bit more kind of accepting of virtual support in this way. Absolutely. So, Sue,
Definitely.
tell us a bit about what motivated you in your path to becoming an end of life doula, death doula, or now what you call the chronic illness doula.
I use critical illness end-of-life doula, and I find that has made a difference when I'm talking with people about the work. It's important to me to share that it's not only about the actively dying phase. But to get to your question, I'm always happy to answer this question. In an instant, I became absolutely dedicated to the possibility that I could do the work. Had never done anything like the work before, but after coming across a learning opportunity on social media, I just jumped right in. I had never heard of it until that moment. And I always offer up the same cliche, which is, I wasn't looking for it, it found me. And I'm so grateful for the path that I've been on since then.
I think it's a common theme with doulas. There's oftentimes this notion of a calling or being at the right time or almost developing the skills throughout the lifetime to now having this opportunity to serve in this way. So it's quite a, I think, a common thread through many of our experiences. So
Absolutely.
Sue, let me ask you, what is the thing in this work that you're most passionate about? When it comes to end-of-life care support, or in your case, did you say, I said chronic illness. Did I say chronic
Critical.
illness?
Yeah, you said
Critical illness, critical
yeah.
illness. And specifically, maybe if you can talk a little bit about, so folks have a better understanding of what kind of support services you offer to your clients when they seek your support.
I offer a pretty wide variety, and I allow the client to determine what support in that variety of supports they need and they want. So they are the architects of their path, and I'm there to support. So advanced care planning, respite, companioning. I'm a funeral and life celebrant. Yeah, it's a variety of things. And when I meet with someone, I offer up information on all of those services and help them explore what each of them means, what it could mean for them, what it could mean for their circle of care, because I do also want to be sure to, to let people know that I'm there for their entire circle of care as well. And I'm there from diagnosis to death and beyond. So grief support as well, peer support, of course, or, you know, referrals and resources. So yeah, a really wide variety. It's interesting. It's been a generic path for me. So the other piece of that is education on what we're doing. So being able to speak to groups, Rotary clubs, nursing groups, just a really wide variety of groups, seniors, caregiver groups, and just getting together and talking about the work, answering questions, and really spreading the word. That has really been something that I didn't expect. And I love doing it. I really love that part of the work. So sometimes it takes me away from individual work. And, you know, then I need to find a way back to that individual work as well. So I'm just following the path. And as I said, it's very generic and I just wait to see what happens next.
Yeah, I can appreciate that. I too really like this notion I love that term that you use for the client to be the architect, to then determine, you know, what do they want to build? What do they want to create? And then being able to either pull from your own experience and training and knowledge, or potentially to add to or bring in some other folks, right? Really enhancing the care. I also really appreciate this notion of, you know, being excited and passionate about actually letting folks know what doulas do. I think that's, I think a lot of doulas underestimate our popularity. And so that's still a huge part of this work, is to let people know what we do, what we don't do, how we can offer support, right? Where we can serve, and maybe broadening that scope a little bit. Because again, I think a lot of folks may have some preconceived notions that doulas only focus on the active dying process. And so offering a lot of that variability, I think, is great.
And yeah. I do love what you said about, you know, sharing of resources and referrals. So I love the networking that is involved in Canada, in Ontario, where we are able to reach out to people to say, look, I can't manage this particular situation. Are you interested? Are you able to get involved? So there is always, most often, an opportunity to find what a person needs, you know, and what a person is seeking if you aren't able to provide it at that time. So I love the networking aspect of the work we're doing as well. Yeah, and sharing best practices. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's, I think you're speaking both to, hopefully you're speaking both to the Deaf Doula Ontario network as well, even though you may not have experienced some of those referrals, but I can certainly speak to that those do occur, but specifically the End of Life Doula Association of Canada. So even though this isn't part of our questions, but can you speak a little bit about your unique role with the association and kind of a very brief history and maybe a future plan for the End of Life Doula Association of Canada?
I'd love to. Very passionate about the work we're doing at the board table. I'm the VP of the association currently. The End of Life Doula Association of Canada formed in 2016 with about 30 people. And really fantastic to say that we have close to 500 people across Canada are supporting or registered members. So what that means is not everybody has hung their shingle, so to speak. They're in their learning, on their learning journey, and you know, everybody's in a different, on a different path. And, you know, it's my personal hope that, you know, the future is that we have provincial chapters across Canada. So, you know, in Ontario, of course, because that's where I am. So that would be an exciting one of the next steps for the association. So, and we provide education for the members on a monthly basis. And yeah, it's just been fantastic to be a part of the growth over the last 2 years. I've been with the association now for 3 years, but 2 years in my role as a board member.
Fantastic. Now, I'm a member as well with the End of Life Doula Association of Canada, but also manage and administer the Deaf Doula Ontario Network. And I, too, have found it really, really rewarding to be part of a group and a collaborative. You know, I'm very much in aligned with working together, enhancing the care, not being the only one, and really supporting this movement as we move forward. So let me pose this question before we go into some of the self-care. What do you think the future holds for end-of-life doulas, maybe specifically for Ontario or maybe for Canada? What do you think? Like if you were to kind of have the crystal ball and say, this is what it's going to look like 5-10 years from now, what do you think that vision would be?
I think it's inevitable that we need to be and will be at the table with the circle of healthcare that people do receive in Ontario, speaking for Ontario only. And sometimes I think it's a bit of a lofty dream. And sometimes I think be careful what you wish for, because then comes red tape and different barriers that might present themselves on how you're going to provide that service and support within the healthcare system. But ultimately, I really believe that every single person should have and will have access to a doula, no matter what their socioeconomic status is, no matter what, that we are needed. The baby boomers need us, and I'm one of them. So I'm optimistic, cautiously optimistic. How's that?
Cautiously optimistic. I like that. Yeah. And I think, what you said, Sue, again, right? It's like we want to integrate in a system, but not necessarily be overtaken by the system. Because I think the unique value of end-of-life doulas is because we get contracted as non-regulated professional roles by the family. So we don't have a lot of those kind of restraints sometimes in having a diagnosis, being kind of referred and assigned to. So it'll be an interesting path moving forward as maybe the system shifts and changes and transforms, and to see how we may be able to be part of that. And I really appreciate the other thing. I think, you know, as somebody who is also an end-of-life doula trainer and a mentor, I find it sometimes challenging the fact that we do serve kind of a privileged group at this time, because we don't have our services covered by our social system, and therefore clients have to pay out of pocket in order for us to be part of their care team, and I think that there are still those gaps. You know, one of the unique advantages of doulas, I believe, is that we are the bridgers. You know, we don't only stick around during the dying process. We are there at, during the death and the dying, but we also stay for the family to help them to unpack, debrief, make sense of what has occurred, which doesn't always happen within the healthcare system. You know, nurses, palliative care folks, once the person dies, they leave, right? Yeah. And then it's handed off to the funeral industry, who oftentimes don't meet the demands of some of that grief support. So I'm hoping that though they're like you, will be some of that integration. Absolutely.
Well, and the other part, if I can add as well, is that, people do pay out of pocket. And on the other side of that are doulas who hope to make a living at what they're doing, but oftentimes may have to provide willingly. I provide a sliding scale, and I also do pro bono work and referrals and things like that. So I'm in a very fortunate position that I'm not seeking a full-time monetized work. But that's not the same for everyone. So clients are having to pay out of pocket and can't claim it. And at the same time, doulas who very much want to provide the service and support oftentimes have to do it for minimal or no fees.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of folks don't realize, right? I think sometimes when they get into the training, they think that they'll be able to transfer very quickly onto having a full-time work as a doula because they're very passionate about the work. And then they kind of arrive at this rude awakening of me saying, don't quit your day job. This is a hard sell. So you need to ease your way into it. Absolutely. We need to have some of that reality as we move forward with the doula work. For sure. Now, let me ask you, Sue, you know, I know for myself and for many folks who do this work, not only doulas, but anyone who's working with the client families at the end of life or through bereavement, it can sometimes be difficult for us, especially when maybe we are empathic or compassionate folks who may take on a little bit of some of our client crises or difficulties. So what do you specifically do for your self-care to bring yourself back into what I call centered, or bring yourself back into balance as a way of reducing some of the, maybe the negative impact of some of this work? What is it that, you know, maybe one or two things that you do for yourself that folks can learn from that they may integrate into their own practice?
Great question, because in the beginning, as I was doing the work, I was so immersed in it and loving every minute of the learning, networking, all of it. It didn't feel like work. And so friends and family, my partner would say, "Don't you think you should take a break?" And I'd say, "Oh, this is, I'm just loving every minute. I don't need a break." Of course I did. And so I had to really develop some good time management strategies. That was number one. And I had to allow myself, you know, some social time. And it was hard to break away and create that kind of a schedule of how I wanted to focus. Traveling is a big part of my life. And so I definitely appreciate being able to travel. And writing is a big part of my life. One thing that's a big part of what I offer as a doula and on a personal level is storytelling. And I'm very passionate about offering that up, communal grief storytelling. So it kind of all comes together for me in that way, because I'm working for my clients, for my followers, if you will, my social network around storytelling. It really has become kind of a staple for me in many ways, personally and professionally. And you know what? I love sitting around a dinner table with friends with a beautiful meal and great conversation. Of course, I will always bring the dying aspect into it in some way, whether it's, you know, a humorous way or a serious conversation. But I do love sharing around a dinner table. That's one of my favorite things to do. And I'll never turn down a CBD Epsom salt bath at the end of the day. So those are a few of the things. Currently, I'm creating an outline for a book I'm going to be writing. So cool. Yeah.
Fantastic, right? We're now budding authors, sharing what we have learned and sharing some insights, which I think is so valuable, having been part of that kind of work myself. I think it's very valuable. And in some way, I think for me, I don't know about you, Sue, but it kind of serves that leaving a legacy. You know, if I leave a chapter or two or a book or an article or a story, I think it feeds also the ways in which we care for ourselves as we do this work, right? Kind of being a product of our own work, leaving that legacy.
Yeah. Thank you for mentioning legacy. I do want to say that in September, I'm hosting at our home, a Kaylee, which is a kitchen party, which is a gathering of storytellers and artists. And I've invited some local artists to maybe bring a piece of work that they want to sell, but that really speaks to legacy that they would like to leave. So whether it's a painting, whether it's a poem, whatever that may be. And we're going to do that by donation at the door only. And cram as many people as we can into our tiny house and share what, you know, it will be an opportunity for me to share what I do as a critical illness and end of life doula, and specifically focus on art as legacy for people. So I'm really excited about that.
Yeah. Which is fantastic. I think in the future of AI and technology, I recently heard someone saying, we don't need AI for creative endeavors. We are able to cover that. And there's actually a risk that we, if we hand that off to AI, it's going to actually deplete, right, some of our humanness, if you will.
Definitely.
We need to develop that. So, Sue, in closing, how can folks reach you? What is the best way? Do you have a website?
I do.
The website is the easiest thing for people to connect.
Yeah, and that's www.suephillips.ca. Suephillips.ca. Yeah, that's the
even
best.
If they Google Sue Phillips, I think they'll be able to find you that way, right, through the Google search.
I haven't Googled myself, but yeah, let's.
You should do that. It's actually pretty fun. You know, some of the old stuff pops up for me. It can be a lot of fun. Wonderful. Thank you so much, Sue, for taking the time. Again, suephillips.ca. You can also reach Sue through the Death Doula Ontario Network or the End of Life Doula Association of Canada.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for everyone for spending time with the Death Doula Ontario Network and our members. And we hope that you will return to listen to our collective stories on this Death Doula Chats podcast.